this is your Polycast for Wednesday, April 18th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a former House Speaker will sit on the state Supreme Court and more on campaign fundraising. Governor Mark Dayton has named State Representative Paul Thiessen to the state Supreme Court. As Tim Pugmire reports, the governor praised Thiessen as a sharp legal mind and committed public servant.
Dayton picked Thiessen from four candidates that the Commission on Judicial Selection recommended for the vacancy. He said it wasn't easy.
This appointment was one of the most difficult I have made for any office because of the extremely high caliber of the four finalists. Any one of them would be an outstanding Associate Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court.
But Dayton said Thiessen, a DFLer from Minneapolis, stood out among the candidates with his combined experience as a lawyer and lawmaker.
He combines a brilliant legal mind, the highest integrity, and a special understanding of Minnesota from his 16 years of service in the Minnesota House of Representatives and his extensive travels throughout our state.
Thiessen fills the vacancy created by the appointment of Justice David Strauss to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. Thiessen is a former House Speaker and a two-time candidate for governor, who announced earlier this year that he would not seek re-election to the legislature. He said his experience prepares him for the new role.
Serving on the court, I believe, is going to allow me to continue to advance the basic values that have long motivated the work that I've tried to do, to promote fairness, to advance individual dignity and rights, to make sure that we're accountable to each other and that the institutions that are supposed to serve us are accountable to us, and perhaps most importantly, to make sure that every single person's voice is heard.
Dayton's influence on the court could last decades. He has now selected five of the seven justices currently on the court. A sixth Dayton pick, Wilhelmina Wright, left after being appointed a U.S. District Court judge. Dayton is not seeking another term as governor. In welcoming Thiessen to the court, Chief Justice Lori Gilday said the turnover has been significant.
The membership on the court matters, and there is certainly a period of adjustment when an experienced member leaves the court. Thankfully, our court continues to be so impressed by the remarkable candidates that come through our state's judicial selection process.
More than a dozen Minnesota legislators have ended up on the state Supreme Court in the past 150 years. The last former legislator to serve on the court was Kathleen Blatz from 1996 to 2006. Blatz, a former Chief Justice, has known Thiessen for many years. She was on hand to wish him well and to attest to the benefit of legislative experience.
It really deepened my appreciation for the three distinct branches of government and what that means, and sometimes it's implicated in cases, and that's just a wealth of knowledge to draw on, and I know that Paul will do that very well.
The other finalists for the vacancy were 2nd District Judge Jeffrey Bryan, Minnesota Tax Court Chief Judge Bradford De La Pena, and Court of Appeals Judge Lucinda Jessen. Thiessen plans to resign his House seat Friday. He said he will take no further votes as state representative. Dayton said he will not call a special election to fill the vacancy because one could not be scheduled before the end of the legislative session.
It's both impractical and not required by law to call for a special election, so I do not intend to do so.
Voters in House District 61B will fill the vacancy in the November general election. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire at the Capitol.
Republicans who control the legislature are stepping up criticism of a tax proposal from Governor Dayton. Although they have yet to release their own plan, they say Dayton's plan would raise taxes on too many Minnesotans. They cite a Department of Revenue analysis of the Dayton proposal. The analysis combines the effects of Dayton's tax plan with his proposed extension of a tax on medical services that was supposed to expire next year. Republican Representative Pat Garofalo says the whole picture is what matters.
Taxpayers don't have a tax bill pocket and then a health and human services pocket. They got one wallet or one purse.
Revenue Commissioner Cynthia Bowerly argued that extending an existing tax shouldn't be regarded as a tax increase.
The extension of the provider tax will not result in Minnesotans paying any a dollar more than they are paying today in taxes.
Bowerly said that most Minnesota taxpayers would see their taxes cut under Dayton's proposal. The governor is recommending a $60 per person credit for all but the wealthiest taxpayers. As we mentioned here yesterday, former Governor Tim Pawlenty was the top money raiser among candidates for governor in the first quarter of the year. As Brian Baxt tells us, he did it in a short period of time.
He broke the $1 million mark in about 3 weeks. Of course, he had been lining up some of those contributions before then, and much of the money that he got came in the largest possible checks, which is about $4,000 per person. He had the most left at the end of March, the last day that these reports cover. And the money will come in handy as Pawlenty drives toward that August primary that he's likely to be part of. Among Republicans, the next closest was Jeff Johnson. He's a Hennepin County commissioner and the 2014 Republican nominee for governor. Johnson raised just more than $100,000 between January and March. DFLer Tim Walz, a congressman from southern Minnesota, raised about half Pawlenty's total, but he's not as far back as the others in available cash.
And Brian says Tim Walz has more money on hand than the other Democrats running.
Tim Walz has a decisive edge. Counting money he had at the start of the year, he now has about $630,000 to spend as the state endorsing convention approaches. There are two other Democrats in the race, state auditor Rebecca Otto and state representative Aaron Murphy. Both are way back. Otto started April with about $150,000 available, and Murphy had about half that. Walz is the only candidate who hasn't committed to abide by the Democratic endorsement, so if he doesn't get it, he plans to move on to an August primary.
And it's not just the candidates raising money. Political parties and outside groups will also raise and spend a lot during the campaign. State lawmakers are considering a bill to eliminate early school start times for teenagers. Solveig Wastvedt reports.
The bill would prevent middle and high schools from starting earlier than 8:30 a.m. It would also forbid elementary student bus pickups before 7 a.m. Republican Senator Jim Abler of Anoka authored the bill. Abler says early school start times lead to problems like car accidents, depression, and lower school performance for teenagers.
This is a health issue for our children and a public safety issue for all Minnesotans. Sleep deprivation is not only hurting our kids, but costing our state money in additional health care costs and special education costs.
Critics of the bill say local school boards should determine start times. Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.